Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for excitement and fun and your word being celebrated in word and in deed and in song and in the love that is so obvious with us this morning. Keep us in your presence. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, who is our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our scripture this morning is the second chapter of Philippians, the end of the second chapter, verses 25 to 30. Let us hear once more the word of God. The Apostle Paul writes to his friends in Philippi, "Still, I think it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for all of you, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed so ill that he nearly died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. I am more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and I may be less anxious. Welcome him then in the Lord with all joy and honor such people, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As with so many things, it started out, in church especially, it started out as a rumor. And the rumor was that our friend, our dear friend, our former pastor, the Apostle Paul, was imprisoned in the dungeon of Caesar Nero's jail in Rome, and that he was chained to the wall, and he is awaiting a kangaroo court trial. Sadly enough, the rumor turned out to be true. So the Adult Discipleship Commission at the church in Philippi had an emergency meeting, and they recommended to the session, the governing body of the church, that our church send a missionary to Paul in jail to take care of Paul, to bring him food, to take care of his needs, to make his imprisonment easier. The session took up that agenda item the following Monday. And after some discussion and some debate, great idea, we should be doing this, but can our budget take an unexpected hit like sending a person to Rome with supplies, keeping them in Rome indefinitely? Could our budget sustain such a thing? It's going to take a small fortune. And so with much trepidation, the moderator called for a vote. Thankfully, it was unanimous. The decision was unanimous and generous and at the same time scary. We are committing much money to this endeavor. Session also votes to send Epaphroditus as their missionary to Rome. He is young, he is strong, he is on fire with the Lord. He will make us proud, he will make Paul proud, he will make the church proud. It will be good. Epaphroditus arrives in Rome and nothing goes right and nothing goes according to plan. Epaphroditus becomes very, very ill. He hovers near death for some time. And instead of ministering to the Apostle Paul, Paul ends up ministering to this young man who is frightened, who is homesick, and who is deathly ill. Thankfully, he recovers. And with a pastor's heart, Paul sees his need to send this young man home. But Paul fears what might await Epaphroditus as he arrives back home from his failed mission. Can you just hear the kvetching and the complaining and the recriminations and kind of a little bit of snottiness? We spent all that money. We spent our reserves. And what did it get we? And what did it get us? Epaphroditus failed. So Paul sends a letter to the folks back home in Philippi. Epaphroditus has been in distress because he heard that he was sick. I think Paul is thinking about the kvetching and the kind of reception this young man just may receive when he gets back home. And although he's most likely worried, and feeling inferior, and knows that everybody at home is going to be mad at him and telling him off. Epaphroditus wants to go home. That's where we want to be when we're sick, isn't it? We hear it time and time again when someone's in the hospital. If I could just go home. If I could just be back in my own bed. Back with my loved ones, with my stuff around me. It would be better. So that's where Epaphroditus is. He wants to go home. But at the same time, I can't wait to get home. But at the same time, will I be welcomed? Will this group who spent so much money, so much mental energy, so much spiritual oomph to send him into this ministry, how will they respond to this, to his seeming failure? And let's be honest. Epaphroditus is not going to be showered with ticker tape and have a parade in his honor. Honestly, looking at it from a human point of view, he failed. He was supposed to be ministering to Paul and helping Paul through a rough time, and Paul takes care of him and ministers to him. And this is the first hint that Epaphroditus' mission is not a failure. Because this is what church is. We take care of each other, don't we? Sometimes I have a need, sometimes you have a need, sometimes I'm strong, a young bull elephant, and other times I'm dragging around. And we take care of each other. And that's the first hint that we have here that everything is all right. So, Paul sends this letter. And in this letter, he continues to minister to his young friend because it's a letter of recommendation. It's a letter of recommendation. It's honest and kind. And Paul refuses to enter into the fray, enter into the kvetching. He's not even going to talk about it. Paul knows that ministry and faith and following Jesus is not an outcome-based endeavor. Taking up our cross daily is not measured by our numbers. Following Jesus Christ with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself is not about the numbers of worshipers we have in this building. It's not about budget. It's not about the offering we take. It's not about the number of people we have in church, school, or youth group, or any activity. Our Christian lives are about faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ. Taking up our cross daily, faith is about people. So in this letter of recommendation, Paul never mentions any of their disappointment. He talks about who Epaphroditus is. Not what he's done, not what he's failed to do. Who is Epaphroditus? He is my Christian brother, my co-worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger, your minister to those in need. Paul is sending the message that Epaphroditus' ministry is not measured by success or failure, how we spent, what our expectations was, how we look at ourselves, our church, or how we look at our church or anything. He is defined, Epaphroditus and we are defined by our dedication and service to Jesus Christ. And so Paul says this, and he demands that the Philippians receive him in joy and welcome him with honor. Welcome is it's the Living Bible. Welcome him home, give him a grand reception with a great big hug. And whatever happens, dear friends, chapter 3, verse 1, and whatever happens, dear friends, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul was very well aware that the Philippians' plans to help him were scuttled by Epaphroditus' illness. He knows that. And he knew that they would be worried about their investment bearing fruit. Yet here we are, 2,100 years later, and we are rejoicing in the Lord. We are sharing Epaphroditus' so-called failure. The fruit that we are sharing is good and right and true. We are witnessing and imitating Epaphroditus' dedication. We keep going. We just keep going. We are witnessing Paul's kindness. The fierce Apostle Paul. Remember last week I told you he's always pictured with a sword in his hand. He's dropped the sword and he has his arm around the young man. We're seeing his kindness. And we're witnessing to the Philippians getting over themselves. Getting over their kvetching, getting over their stuff and looking at themselves and say, yeah, we really are the people of faith. We're good. This is good. We are remembering that the people of God always have a future. We are gaining the assurance and the confidence in our ministry and for our church. And that's not bad for a failed mission, is it? Life's endeavors don't always go according to my plans. Come to Jack and Marlene's tonight and hear the whole story of that. I plan, God laughs. And sometimes, actually, God weeps when I weep and says, it's okay, I have a plan for you. And this goes all the way back to chapter 29 of Jeremiah. The Lord God gives us the assurance, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not to harm you, to give you future and hope. Then when you call upon me and pray to me, I will hear you. And when you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with your whole heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all places that I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place to which I sent you into exile. Honestly, things don't always go according to plan. Things haven't gone according to plan for our church. If we look at the PCUSA.org website and their bar graphs for our and their numbers for our church, it's not pretty. It's not a work of art. And if we define ourselves by numbers, if we kvetch about who we are not, or where we aren't where we thought we would be, if we look at ourselves as a business concern, well, several years ago, I had to get over myself. I started to define myself as pastor by numbers. Hey, we had a lot of people in worship today. I must be a good pastor. We met budget this month. Our offering was good this week. Had 12 people in my Sunday school class. I must be a good pastor. I had to put such things away and focus again on the Lord's plan. The plan I know the Lord has for me and for us, and I have no idea what it looks like. But God does. And it's for our welfare. It's to uphold us. It's to keep us in his loving arms. And I challenge all of us to put numbers away. Yes, we have to have money and we have to have worshipers to keep going and to keep us going. But we cannot let numbers define who we are. We cannot. Let me tell you who you are. You are brothers and sisters in the Lord. You are co-workers in Christ. Fellow soldiers, messengers of the Word of God. And ministers to those in need. This ministry may not have gone according to plan. This ministry does not look like it did 10, 5, even a couple years ago. And I guarantee you our church ministry is alive and well and living on this block. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
I am amazed at the Christian love that has been lived out in the extreme with the families who have suffered loss so recently. I have been amazed when I saw, I was blown away when I saw the church folk descend yesterday on Bible school. I have been amazed at the amount of prayer that isn't pastor driven. I have been amazed at God's plan for our ministry, our church. And it may never look the same as it once did. I'm going to take that back. It will never look the same as it once did. Our church may never live into our plans. But we are living into God's plan. Amen. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. plans to prosper you and to give you hope and to give you a future. We don't know what the future will look like. We can't even guess. But as long as we model Epaphroditus' faith, his willingness to go, as long as we model Paul's kindness, as long as we model the Philippians getting over themselves and embrace one another and the Lord, as long as we minister and care for each other, as long as our mission, our ministry, our goal, our lives outside of this building and our fellowship continue in the Lord, we cannot fail. As Paul says in verse 3:1, whatever happens, my dear friends, whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. And so here I paraphrase Paul and I ask you to do as he asked the Philippians. Give each other a grand welcome, a joyful embrace. George didn't forget the greeting. I asked him to put it till now. Let us now greet one another in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.